Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Probably should have done this before. Can everybody hear me all right? Okay, good. Thank you. Also, I was wondering if someone could get me a little water. That would be great. So this text from the Gospel of Mark this morning, there are a couple of things that are pretty important that aren't there. The resurrected body of Jesus, for example. Nobody gets to see it. We get instead this angel in the tomb who tells the women, "He's not here. He has been raised. He will go ahead of you to Galilee. Go tell the disciples." He will go ahead of you to Galilee. So we don't get to see the body of Jesus in this gospel. Unlike in other gospels where he arrives to his disciples, and he says, "Peace be with you." Not so in Mark. So that's one important thing that we don't get to see. We have to depend on the word of the faithful women. The women who were being faithful Jews. They knew what they had to do. They knew what their responsibility was to go and take care of this body, which was now dead, to put spices on it, to wash it, to take care of it, to tend to it, the way it is done traditionally. And by this they show their faithfulness. And this is no small thing. Tom Long says, "A people who forget to honor the body of the dead will soon forget to honor the bodies of the living." Hear that. And then think about the cultures that won't honor the dead and how bodies that are alive become dishonored and mistreated. So they are faithful people. There they are, going to the tomb to do what is supposed to be done. And there's no Jesus. He's been raised. He's not there. We don't get to see him either. The storyteller doesn't give us any insight into that. Where is he? Where has he gone? Well, to Galilee. But what does that mean? I kind of think it means he got to work raising people from the dead. That's what I think. I think he got to work embodying the hymn that they sang at the Last Supper, the Seder meal. There's a little line in Mark, and it's in the other gospel, two of the other gospels as well. Jesus does, "This is my body, this is my blood." And then the narrator says, "And when they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." They just sang a hymn. But they didn't sing any hymn. They sing the same hymn that ends every Haggadah, every Seder meal. And the hymn is Psalm 136. And that psalm has 26 verses, and 26 times we hear in the psalm, "God's steadfast love endures forever. Blessed be the God, our God. God's steadfast love endures forever." God saved the people from Pharaoh. God's steadfast love endures forever. God opened the Red Sea. God's steadfast love endures forever. The people of Israel walked across dry shod. God's steadfast love endures forever. That's the hymn that was sung before Jesus' arrest. And that's the song that echoes through this whole story. God's steadfast love endures forever. You guys can say it. God's steadfast love endures forever. It's again one of those things. We don't see Jesus' body. We don't hear that hymn being sung. But it's there, and it's shaping the whole story. So today, I get to tell you some things about seeing the resurrected Jesus and about hearing that steadfast love endures forever. One of them is a guy that we know from in jail, going to visit him. His life was very difficult, alcoholic, in trouble all the time, could not stay sober, could not stay away from the wheel of a car, in jail a lot, very serious. And his life was locked up in a cell, and his life was locked up in the vault of his own shame. Could not get out. Very difficult life. The life of the living dead. And then gets out of jail, and something happens to him. And he gets sober. And not only does he get sober, but then he goes to other people who have struggled with alcohol, and he's helping them, giving them a hand, showing them that there is life after this death of addiction. It is an amazing thing. You wouldn't believe it. If you knew him before and you saw him now, you wouldn't know it was the same person. And that is the resurrection of Jesus. That's Jesus' life. That's Jesus' work, raising people from the dead. That's probably why we don't see Jesus in the story of Mark. He's already busy doing other things. Take a look at your bulletin, the front of your bulletin, that icon. That's the resurrection icon. Jesus is there. He's standing up. He's got the arms of two people, one on his right and one on his left. Isn't that interesting, huh? In contrast to the crucifixion, this is the resurrection. He's got one on his right and one on his left, and he is lifting them out of the tombs. That's Adam and Eve. I want you to meet them. Because God's steadfast love endures forever is not just God's steadfast love will last from here on forward. It's not just that. Although that's great enough, because our future is unknown enough. So to walk into a future where God's steadfast love endures forever, and we have that in our hearts, that's really, really helpful, because we still don't know where we're going in this future. We still don't know what lies ahead for us. We've had a very hard year. We don't know what the following year will bring. But we do know this: God's steadfast love endures forever. But it's not just forward, it's also back. All the things that we have regretted, all the things that we have done that we feel guilty about, all the things we have locked in our vault of shame, God's steadfast love endures forever isn't just forward, it also goes back. And it claims those things, and it breaks open that vault that we have hidden, all of that stuff, and opens it up to the light of the sunshine, to the light of Christ, and says, "My steadfast love even was here then, when you locked this thing up. Let it out. My steadfast love endures forever and through everything." Jesus is really busy, and maybe that's why we don't see his body at the resurrection. So, one of my favorite stories, I told it on Good Friday. I'm going to tell you all again. If you heard it on Good Friday, it's still a good story. Don't worry about it. So, a colleague of mine, a female pastor, a Methodist pastor, she's walking from her house to the church, and it's in the days before cell phones, and she comes across a man who's beating his girlfriend. I mean, beating her, like scary beating her. And she stops and she realizes if she goes to the church, she's going to be too late. If she goes back to her house, it's too late. She doesn't have a cell phone. She doesn't know what to do. So she stands there, all 5'4" of her. And she stands up and she says, "You stop that right now." And this big man turns and walks towards her and says, "Who's going to make me?" And she says, "I am." And he says, "How do you suppose you're going to do that?" And she says, "I'm going to stand here until I see Jesus in you." And the man says, "Lady, ain't nobody ever seen Jesus in me before." And she says, "Well, I do." And that is how a man who was dead in his own violence became a repentant disciple of Jesus Christ. That is how Jesus reached down to him in the grave and pulled him out in the form of a 5'4" Methodist pastor so that he could live a new life. He became a devoted member of the church of this pastor, would do anything for her, and became a servant of the church. From death to life. Because even in all of that horrible violence of his life, God's steadfast love endures forever. There is nothing, no time, no place, no event, nothing that can deny God's steadfast love for you. From here on and from here back. And on Easter Sunday, the vaults are opened wide, the tombs are opened wide, and everybody comes out into freedom. No longer do we have to hide. No longer do we have to worry. God's steadfast love endures forever. And I know that you have seen the body of Jesus in your neighbors who have come to you and brought you love. And you have embodied that same love for others. You are the body of Christ. So, if Mark doesn't give us a vision of the body of Christ, then maybe it's time this morning to look around to look at one another. I'm asking you to do that. It'll look like this. And let me tell you just one more thing that just happened this morning. Someone who has been very, very frustrated with me about not having church and not been coming. We've had exchanges, email exchanges, walks into the church with a vase of flowers. And she says, "I'm still waiting until this church is open, the doors are open. But I was asked to bring flowers, and I'm bringing you flowers." And I said, I'm going to interpret this. I'm going to tell you how I'm interpreting this, and you tell me if I'm wrong. And she said, "Okay." I said, "The way I'm interpreting this is you're telling me I totally disagree with you, but I love you." And she said, "Exactly. Exactly." And I said, "I hope you are receiving that same message from me." And she said, "Oh, I am." Because even in the midst of disagreement, and even in the midst of hostility, and even in the midst of all that has gone on, my dear friends, God's steadfast love endures forever. Say it with me. God's steadfast love endures forever. Christ is risen, and he's busy raising up. Oh, I'm sorry, I was going to be done. Sometimes the pastor forgets the liturgy a little. He's busy raising us up to newness of life. And I'm not just talking about up into heaven. That's beautiful and wonderful. And we all know people who have died, and we are hoping, our hope is that they are resurrected into the life of heaven. Great, beautiful. But we are also being resurrected into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, right here, right now. And that's what I think these stories are reflecting. The kingdom of God is alive now, because Christ is alive among us. Now, the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Thanks be to God.